John DeMel with you with the positive mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and jests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Today we're going to talk about something interesting. Today I want to talk about crying. Crying, the very, very enigmatic crying. Crying. What is it about? I wonder where the word came from. Probably came from outcry, and then that came from somewhere else. Cry. We got to look up the meaning of that word and where it came from. Nature is loaded with funny things and funny behaviors. You know, like elephants have trunks. Those are strange. The hammerhead shark has these eyes that point out in two different directions. Wacky, effervescent mating dances that the cranes do. The strange peacock tail. You know, this long thing that is certainly, they call that handicap. You know, you obviously can't fly with a tail that long and that beautiful. But nothing is as strange as human crying. It doesn't make sense. It does not seem odd, you know, to us. We do it often enough ourselves, and we witness someone else doing it nearly every day. According to one study of more than 300 men and women conducted in the 80s, women cry 5 times more than men. 5 times more. Men cry about, actually it's even more than that. Women cry 5 times a month. And men cry about once every month. It's about 5 times as much. And the first thing the baby does when it enters the world is to cry, right? That's the first thing it does. It's a little strange when a baby doesn't cry. But it cries, and that makes you know that the baby is healthy and whole. It's not necessarily howling out of distress, although I do remember when Le Boyer was doing the birthings underwater. Remember those babies born underwater? They still do that. Those babies don't come out crying. So, you know, maybe it has to do with distress. But the crying is important for survival. Other animals may whimper, moan, wail, but none shed the tears of emotions that we do. In our case, at some point, a long time ago, one of our ancestors evolved a neuronal connection between the gland that generates tears and the parts of the brains that feel, sense, and express deep emotion. How did that happen? Who decided, let's put a little thing in the inside of the eye and connect that thing to a mid part of the brain to express emotion? You know, there are three kinds of tears. Three kinds. One is you cry out of, well, first let's go for a description. What is tearing? What is crying? It's a vocal sobbing exhalation. Goes from soft to loud, given as a visceral response to either grief, happiness, or sadness. That seems to be the three reasons why people cry. Grief, happiness, sadness, or pain, you know, which I think includes the onions. You know, when you're peeling onions and your tears, I think that's pain. There's an involuntary tightening of the voice box. Did you ever notice a person cries and that gets tight up there? Their face flushes, their shoulders shrug. There's a forward bowing motion of the head. You know, like you kind of bob forward when you're crying. Bobbing. And strangely enough, if you were to look at it from a distance and you didn't see the person's face, you couldn't tell if they were laughing or crying. It's the same kind of physical movements. Fragments of the face, you know, of the cry face, there's a quivering chin, you know that quivering chin, and the depressed lip corners. Your lips go down on the sides. Now they say, it's interesting, if you have a depressed lip corner, that means a person who, you know, you look at somebody, you look at a child. No, you can't go out and play. And then you see the corners of their lips go down. you know, and you know they're going to burst into tears any minute now, it suggests sadness or disappointment. That's not the tears of pain coming. Those are sadness or disappointment. And it's kind of impossible to fake these chin quivers. You know, I've seen actresses and actors, I've seen actors do this. And when they could fake the chin quivers, you know, and make you believe they're crying, that's kind of amazing. Because you've got to call in that. It's not easy. A happy cry, you know, some people cry out of happiness, lasts about 2 minutes. A sad cry lasts about 7 minutes. If you're going to give somebody room to cry, let them cry for 7 minutes. Now, so, as we said, women carry about five times as much. The average length of a crying sadness, followed by anger, sympathy, and fear, are the reasons that most people give for crying. So they notice that there's a whole bunch of connections between crying and humans. And is it all about, what do we learn from it? What do we know from it? What do you think you know about it? And do you have questions about your own crying? Do you cry? Can't you cry? I've met a lot of men who can't cry. When's the last time you cried? I said to a man who came to see me the other day. He said, I can't remember when. What happens? How do you shut off those ducts? Now, from what we're learning, that the mammalian brain makes this work to, that are included in those tears, there are toxins coming out, prolactin, which is released from the pituitary, which is an emotional stress hormone. That's what they find in tears. They discovered leucine and cephalin, which is also a neurotransmitter. It's like an opiate-like substance for pain relief that winds up in tears. So, you know, tears are not just salty water. But they seem to help the body alleviate stress and cleanse itself of these excessive hormones and toxins, you know, and it cleans you out. So crying is important, and being able to cry is important, but not for everybody, because some people cry to excess, and usually that's the sign of a great disturbance, you know, if a person's crying all the time. In India, there was a herd of elephants. You've probably heard about this. 7 elephants had been killed by a train. And the accident occurred on November 15th, 2001, in India's state of Assam. About 100 elephants began circling the pachyderms that lay dead. Those are the elephants that lay dead near the railroad tracks, with tears rolling down their eyes. And these pictures of these elephants with tears rolling down their eyes. What was that doing? What was this? What was happening here? They were looking at 7 dead elephants. Well, we could humanize that and we could give that some human contact. But maybe there's stuff about tears and crying we don't know. But I'm going to ask you to help me with this today. 3 kinds of tears. Emotional tears are one of the 3 kinds. The other 2 share a similar kind of chemistry. Basal tears, that's a basal tear, bathes our eyes every time we blink. So when you blink, you have a basal tear. You didn't know that, did you? Isn't that nice to know? Reflex tears well up when we get poked in the eye or when the fumes from an onion, you know, we get irritated. Those are called reflex tears, all different in chemistry. Emotional tears have a makeup all their own, one that provides some clues about their function. They found that at the University of Minnesota that they carry 20 to 25% more types of protein and have 4 times the amount of potassium than reflex tears. Now, why all this potassium? Where's this potassium coming from? You know, potassium is kind of essential. Potassium is essential. It's an essential part of that sodium-potassium balance of how we keep water in our systems. So with potassium released, the tears are allowed. Maybe that's the theory behind it. 30 times of the concentration of manganese. 30 times as much that's in the blood comes out in tears. So you got this manganese potassium, enkephalin, serotonin, you know, loads of stuff is coming out in these tears. So when somebody says, let me kiss your tears, you know, you're giving them a lot of DNA. There's a lot of stuff that comes out there. And they're also loaded with hormones, such as the ACTH, which humans produce when under stress, prolactin. And so this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. What are we talking about today? 11 minutes, and we're talking about tears. Talking about crying. Did you ever feel like crying? Don't you wish you could cry sometimes? Did you ever get that feeling? Like you just wish you could cry. I can't tell you the number of people who have walked into my office a number of times and they sit down and they just look at me because somehow maybe they know me through the radio, through a friend or something. They sit down. I have never met them before. They sit down in a chair and as soon as they look in my eyes, boom, they burst into tears. Now, I know as a psychotherapist that those tears are healing. I know this is a cleansing process. I know this is not basil tears because they just smelled onions, even though I do keep a lot of onions around my office. I know this. I know this person is having an emotional reaction and they've been waiting for a safe place to cry. I know that. So I don't say, why are you crying? That's the stupidest thing you could do to somebody. Because if you say to somebody, why are you crying? They're going to say to you, they're going to make it up in their mind. Now, I guess if you have a child, what do? You say to your child, why are you crying? Is that the thing? Your child is crying? Well, if they're fake tears, which children frequently do, which you could tell the difference between fake tears and real tears by looking at whether their eyes are really wet. Because fake tears, you know, children have learned to use crying as a way of getting what they want. But if you have a child that's really crying and really sad, and you go over to the child, the best thing you could do is put your arm around the child and say, oh, I'm here. You know, why are you crying takes a person out of their emotional state and asks them to move up to their intellect and try to fetch a reason. A lot of times people don't know why they're crying. They absolutely have no idea why they're crying. So then they give you a reason. I'm crying over George Bush. All right, yeah, well, I understand why that's upsetting you because, you know, they can make up anything they want. I'm crying because of the season. I'm crying because of... The real thing to do when somebody cries is to be with them. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. Second half of the program, we're going to be taking your calls. But I'm trying a new experiment today. I want to try this. This is interesting. Them of you who are near a computer, let's try this one. Send an email during the program, and I and my assistant will scan the emails for questions. And if you have a question that I can answer, and if the email's more than two sentences, I can't possibly read it. Maybe I could, you know, but I probably will skip over it. But if you send an email and to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at brainlink.com. Oh, no, change that. I got a better idea. Send it to Armand at thepositivemind.com. That's the way to do it. ThePositiveMind.com, one word. Armand's at ThePositiveMind.com. It's it. Now, you just send emails there, and you could ask me any questions. So if you can't get through on the phones today, you could also be asking me by email, and I'm going to see if this works. If this works, we have a whole new way of responding to our audience during the program. So we're trying it. Today is experiment number one. We are talking about tears. We are trying to get questions from you about you're crying, about tears, about what you understand about tears, what you don't understand about tears. Now, another bit of very interesting research came out, and they discovered, they tried to catch the, they were kind of looking at what happens, and they were saying, they were studying this high concentration of manganese, why it's there, why so much manganese in the brain. Manganese. I mean, who even thinks about manganese? You know what I mean? How often do you think about manganese? How much manganese do you have in your body? You know, blood tests maybe. Well, in the tears, there's a high degree of manganese, and manganese is associated with chronic depression. So it's a funny thing. Excessive ACTH indicates anxiety and stress. High levels of prolactin often mean that, you know, there's additional stress. So this thing about manganese being present led them to believe that this is a person who's been depressed a while, who's accumulated this manganese, who's released this manganese through the tears. So anyway, here's the idea behind this whole thing. That crying is not the result of becoming upset, but crying is the result of having been upset. That the tears are shedding the stressor stuff, because by the time you're crying, you've already been upset for a while. And that, my friends, is very important. Because if you think about it, think about the number of times you cried. You didn't just burst into tears. I mean, it may happen if you see something happen in a movie or something, or something tragic happens. You were feeling bad a long time before you burst into tears. And by the time you burst into tears, by the time you were crying, you were already releasing the tension. In other words, it's a sign of the cure. You're letting it go. It's like sweat. Sweat is not the result of working hard. Sweat is the result of having worked hard. You see, the sweat comes when the body is taxed. The tears come when your heart's been working hard already. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So it's an after effect, and that's kind of remarkable. I mean, this is kind of amazing. What's also amazing is the work of Amos Zahavi. Amos Zahavi, 1975, Amos Zahavi. Tel Aviv University, this is quite a guy. Conceived an interesting theory about animals, because he was confused. Here's Amos sitting around with his wife, and he says, Mrs. Zahavi, why do peacocks have these ridiculous feathers when it makes them so vulnerable to other animals? Why do gazelles prance up and down so high when they could be seen by animals and lions and they could get eaten? What is all this stuff? Well, Amos Zahavi found out and studied and became the master of a thing called the handicap syndrome. And the handicap syndrome, which goes along with crying, suggests that if an animal is that vulnerable and can display that vulnerability, that animal may have the energy to get out of the situation more than other animals who may not be showing the vulnerability, because in nature we expect you not to show your vulnerability. So it's this weird thing called the handicap syndrome. And the handicap syndrome, which we should call the challenge syndrome, of course, the handicap syndrome is where animals actually portray things that are weaknesses as a way of defending themselves in the world. Well, tears can be this very thing. Tears can convey the kind of vulnerability that make people leave you alone. You know, you're crying. People don't come over and bother you. It's one way of keeping people at a distance. So, what about you? What about you, my friend? What about you? Do you, tears ever come through your life? Did you ever stop crying when you were a kid? All right, now, last bit of information, just because it's so good to get technical sometime. When you have a brain, when you have a tear, right, in the tearing reflex, irritating tactile or chemical stimuli carried by the ophthalmic division of the trigeminal nerve. You know the trigeminal nerve, the eighth cranial nerve, controls your face? Trigeminal nerve, eighth nerve, there it is, right? So now that gets stimulated. It is spread via neural interneuronal paleo circuits to parasympathetic cells of the superior salivatory center of the facial nerve. Yes, we have such a thing. It's in the seventh cranial nerve. Yeah, what am I talking? I'm talking about it, how it works. It actually connects to the spinal cord, superior cervical sympathetic ganglion, and sends out an effervescent cue. And this is what, when doctors talk to doctors, this is what they say. Hey, sending out an effervescent cue along the superior cervical sympathetic ganglion, which means she's crying. You know? It's no simple reflex that we have there. It's enormous. It goes through your whole body. Do you ever cry so hard that you get sick in your stomach? You can feel it in your tummy? Your tears come from your tummy sometimes? Hey, 212-209-2900. That's our number here. 212-209-2900. And as we said, we're doing something new. We are adding to our mix today email to see, this may or may not work, if we get questions from you via email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Now, that should work. If that doesn't work, try armand@brainlink.com. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Listen, I love your show. I've called you before. You gave me some great insights, and I put them into effect. So what I want to tell you today about tears was, do you remember that scene? And I think it was on the waterfront when Rod Steiger was supposed to cry.
Yeah, sure.
And he
was
cried.
Was that Rod Steiger was supposed to cry, or was it?
I think it was Rod Steiger.
Okay.
He was kneeling down over, I think it was right, I'm not sure, but there was a scene where an actor is supposed to cry at the loss of a sibling, or his brother or something, really like heartfelt, horrible situation, and he lets out, he cries, but nothing comes out.
Yeah, open cry, like in The Godfather 2, I think there was this thing at the end when his son, his daughter, it was in Godfather 2 or 3, where his daughter gets killed on the steps. And he screams a tear that you can't hear.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, I think, originally in it was Rod Steiger originally in The Waterfront.
In The
Waterfront.
Anyway,
yeah, you got to see that scene. It's incredible, moving.
Touched you because you have felt like that in your life.
I lived it. You know.
Tell me about it.
What happened with me was my daughter. God bless her. She's 14, a big girl now, but she was born only 3 pounds. Less than 3 pounds. She was born 2 pounds, 4 ounces. And in her struggles to survive, you know, the doctors had to do all kinds of examinations and stuff like that. So one of the things they had to put down her throat was like some kind of like a straw or a little hose that would help to remove the built-up saliva in her throat area or in her lungs. I don't remember exactly. And as a result of that, she couldn't cry, you know? So I would see her going through the motions of crying. Her face is all wrinkled up. Now imagine, she's only 2 to 3 pounds. And her face is all wrinkled up. And she's emoting the crying, the yelling. Like her body is telling you she's crying, and you see it like trying to come out, but there's no sound.
Wow.
To this day, when I think of that, I feel like crying. It was, and I always remember the thought I had in my mind was that I can't wait to hear her cry. You know? I could not wait to hear her cry. And
well, that's God, quite touching.
Lived,
thank you.
Wonderful. You know?
Thank you so much.
Question with you,
sure.
The other question was: you gave me a great insight about my girlfriend, who's very sensitive, and you said, "Well, I don't want to go take too much time, but one of the things I have a hard time with her is that I am not a crier, and she cries all the time, and she tells me she just needs to do it, and I have a hard time. Every time she's crying, I get frustrated or I try to stop it. It's like my reaction. I try to fix her crime, and that's why I'm listening to your show today.
Oh, that's great. Because now why do you try to fix it? Did your mother cry?
I've never seen my mother cry, maybe once or twice. She's not,
how could your mother never cry?
She's not a crier. She's a very strong woman.
Oh, so this is your symbol of what's strong, right?
Yeah.
Strong is who doesn't cry.
Yes.
Right? And if your mother cried, what would happen to you? You'd fall apart. Because she's a strong woman.
I think so, yeah.
So you don't want your girlfriend to fall apart.
I don't. I have a
no,
hard time.
No, because you want her to be your mother. You don't want her to be, you know, you want her to be like your mom. Be like my mom. Be strong. Listen, my friend, it's one of the most beautiful gifts a person can give you, someone who loves you, is to cry in your presence if they're not blaming you. You know, it's very tough if they're blaming you for why they're crying.
Yeah, that's...
Then it's murder, you know.
That's
then,
key.
Yeah, then it's you want to distance yourself. But I remember one woman who said to me just recently, she said, all I'm looking for is a man who will hold me when I cry. I just want him to hold me. I don't want him to do anything. I don't want him to stroke me. And, you know, I don't want anything. I just want him to hold me while I cry.
Wow.
What a feeling that is. Now, you know what I mean? You, as a guy, if you believe there was anybody in the world who could actually hold you when you cried, you'd let yourself do it.
I can't even think of that concept.
Oh. You better come back and see me one time. We'll empty out the vault and the vat, and we'll send you back. You know?
Yeah. Thank you, Amar.
You're a beautiful guy. What's your name?
Tony.
Tony, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Listen, my friends, it seems like the emails are coming in like crazy. Armand@thepositivemind.com, on top of which we have our wonderful... I found something. What started this whole thing today was a song I found. Now, this is going to sound a little bit like a mushy old-time song, but there's something brilliant in this song, and there's something about this song that's very important. What's important about it is that when I was a kid in the 1930s, oh, God knows when it was, somewhere in the 50s. I was sitting in a restaurant, and I was sitting at a coffee shop, as I did back in those days, with a cigarette dangling from my lips, having a cup of coffee with a leather jacket on, I think. And it was on 54th Street and Lexington Avenue or somewhere in a hotel. And I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, and there's a guy sits next to me. And I look at him, and I say, I know you. And he says, oh, yeah. He says, my name is Johnny Ray. And I said, aren't you the guy who sang that song? He says, I'm the guy who sings that song. So this guy, Johnny Ray, back then, made his fame by singing and tearing off his clothing while he sang. He used to sing with such emotion that he would just, like, rip off his shirt and rip off his tie. He didn't get too naked. You know, he just did this. He was long before Elvis Presley. And so Johnny Ray became famous for that. He did a couple of songs that were important. But among the songs he did, one was called Cry. Now, why Cry was important is if you listen to the lyrics, you hear this incredibly deep, incisive stuff coming from this guy who was like a half comic act, you know? And he's giving information about crying and when you cry. And even though it sounds just lyrical and 50s foxtrot stuff, I remember we used to dance to this all the time. Listen up. It's something kind of special. So after our station ID, I'm going to play it for you. We'll be back with you in a couple of seconds. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret you feel better if you cry. When waking from a bad dream, don't you sometimes think it's real? But it's only false emotions that you feel. If your heart aches blues keep getting bluer with each song. Remember, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky, so let your head down and go on and cry. If your heart aches in to hang around too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song, sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky. So let your head down and go right on, baby, and cry.
Isn't that interesting, huh? And to some of you, I know you haven't heard that for ages. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about tears and the nature of tears. Here's a question that one of the emailers, Oneswad, writes to me and says, is it possible to cry without actual tears? Yes, I've seen a lot of people with dry tear ducts. And then she said, or he said, I think about manganese because it helps with migraine headaches. Now, this is a fascinating connection, because from what I understand about migraines, crying always triggers migraines. If you're somebody who has migraine headaches, you live in fear of tears. You have tearophobia. You know, because if you cry, and you cry really hard, and usually people who have migraines tend to be more emotional than most people, so they get really caught in this bind, they get this flooding of emotions, and then they start to cry, and if they cry really hard, when they start crying really hard, the migraine's gonna hit them. So now, this is brilliant observation, what about manganese, and as it helps with the migraine headaches? You know, the connection between manganese and tears and migraines. And that, my friends, I'm going to give to some people to do some research on immediately. So thank you very much for your statement there. Let me go to another one, and then we're going to take a phone call. 212-209-2900. There's some cultures where crying is not acceptable. Your family. That's my answer. You know, yeah, there are cultures with her. You know, I imagine some of the Germanic cultures, men are not allowed to cry. Among the Japanese, I don't see many crying Japanese men. You know, I don't see that. There must be. I mean, you got to tell me. It's a good, interesting piece of research. Within 3 months here, between the assistants that I have working with me and the research assistants, we will be able to take any question you ask and send it up into the internet and come back with, is crying aloud in Tonga Tonga, you know, or something like that, and we'll find out. And so will you. You could send me the information. Cultures that forbid crying. Tough place to live. But then if you lived there, you know, it would be like Roberta said about the wheat. The wheat in Italy, just in case you think I'm taking you back to yesterday's program, she said in Italy the wheat, when it grows on the mountainside, and the wheat, since they don't have big open plains, is tough wheat. You know, like you've heard of bulgur wheat, I'll bet it's vulgar wheat. You know, it's just tough wheat, it's strong wheat, it's what do you want wheat? You know, it's what are you going to do to me wheat? It's that kind of wheat, you know, it's the kind of wheat that you take and you gotta pound it into pizza. It's a, not a gentle wheat. And that's why when the Italians eat wheat in Italy, they don't get fat, because this wheat is a tough wheat, and it works, and it digests, and it goes through your system, and it looks to get out of there. Whereas her proposition was that, you know, in America, when we eat wheat, we eat the stuff that they grow in these fields that's nice, and it's kind of, we shoot it full of all kinds of things to keep it mellow and make sure it gets no diseases, and it gets a full sunlight, and then we take this reaper and we cut it down, and we have wimpy wheat. So there's the wimpy wheat turns to fat. That's a theory. I think it's a fascinating theory. Well, I think the same thing is true of tears. If you come from a place where tears are not welcome, where tears are seen as a new sign of vulnerability, and this sign of vulnerability is not welcome, let's say you're in a tribe, and you broke down in tears, and it identified you among the lions, and the lions had to go to find you, you know? And they say, ooh, I hear a baby crying, let's go eat that baby. They want you to keep from crying. So I'm sure there are cultures where tears are not allowed, just for the survival. And then there are other cultures where tears are not allowed because they're just plain stupid. 212-209-2900, this is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Armand.
Hello there.
This is Edward.
Hello, Edward.
Hi, I kind of had a question or comment about tears.
Sure, both.
Which is that, like, when a person is in love and they're excited and, you know, their eyes, there's, like, this shining in their eyes and they're getting all this energy. And then it turns out, oh, it's not real. And then they cry.
Sure.
And all this all comes, it's like, I think it does have something to do physically about the eyes and how much energy we're giving, you know, they're excited and they're getting all this energy in. And they want to, the eyes kind of want to maybe close up and harden, and when that happens, it's like these, like the salt comes out to like to bounce somehow. There's an equation about it.
You're saying that when you get deeply emotionally involved with someone and you are disillusioned, when your fantasy of what you hope is real, a love, a connection that makes you feel safe and feel at home, when that's suddenly broken by some reality, some invasion, you feel the pain of that and you go through it and your tears break down. And that's part of, and that's where you could feel this kind of lacrimation filled with chemicals that feel like salty tears, but what we're learning is manganese and potassium coming out, and that these tears are coming out, and you're saying, you know, it's a funny way. I think it balances the body, and I think you're right, because I think, like we said, what we've learned is that tears come after the pain, not during the pain. You know, and it comes, and it may be a release. It may be the transition between the pain and the end of the pain. That's why psychotherapy is so good.
It is good. It's really good.
Yeah.
You put, like, they get salt and water on the outside, and then the other end of it is, like the strength, and you get strength from the crying and solidity, you know. You realize, oh, this is the truth of it, you know. So it feels better. It's, like, better to... It's really good to have a grasp of something that's real.
Yes, it makes you feel real. Thanks, Edward. Edward, if I don't speak to you, happy holidays, because you're one of the people in the world that I consider very close to me.
Thanks, Armand.
Sure.
You too, and to everyone there.
Sure. 212-209-2900. We'll take another call. And remember, if you're shy of calling, as many of you are, and you want to email, you send an email to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, @thepositivemind.com, and we'll be picking up your emails as we go through the show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. I cry almost every time I listen to The Positive Mind. Something about it touches me. You know,
I know. You know. Thank you very much for saying that. It's one of the reasons why we're probably not worldwide. Because a number of people have tried to, you know, people have dragged this program and they've dragged it over to a lot of the different networks. And they said, listen to this fantastic stuff. And the guy who would be listening to it says, it makes me cry. And who wants that? They want other stuff.
Happy stuff.
They want happy stuff. So, yeah, it makes me cry, too. I mean, what happens? You listen and you hear, when you hear the people talking?
That's true. Like, I was listening to Tony talk about his little daughter, and I just visualized it in my mind, and that almost got me, you know, going. But I also wanted to say that I spent almost all weekend crying because of marital struggles and stuff, and, you know, that was tears of sadness. And then Tuesday, I stayed home because my son was... I stayed with him, and then realizing I wasn't going to have to leave the house anytime soon because it was that bad, I started to cry because I was happy that I was just there with him in the moment, you know? And him and I were watching The Lion King, and that had me crying about five times.
That'll mush you all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. So I had three different types of crying episodes in about two or three days.
You know, any of you, by the way, I want to remind all of you, If you have children around, don't forget Born Free. Remember that? You know, I mean, there should be a run on Born Free. Because everybody's forgotten about it, and most people born today have no idea. Not born today, I mean, very few are born today, but most people born over the last 10 years don't know anything about it. So they don't even list it as a young movie, but Born Free is also one of those that'll grab at your tear ducts.
Yeah. Is that the one about...
It's the one about the lion.
Lion, okay, I never saw it.
Oh, of all people, get ready. Bring
okay.
A sponge. Bring a it's nice to talk to you.
You too, Armand. Have a nice holiday, everybody. Bye.
Sure. Here's an email from an old friend. It's also used, here's from Jim, from Paramus. Says, crying is also used to elicit sympathy and or attention. Most people will do anything to get the crying to stop. Yes, for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you're in an opera, and I was once at a show where there was a baby behind me crying, right? And it was a Cirque du Soleil, and somebody brought a three-month-old baby behind me who was crying like crazy, and all of my sympathy went out the window because... I wanted to watch the Cirque du Soleil. I didn't want to hear a baby crying behind me. So normally, all my affection for the baby parenting and stuff, parents bringing a baby who cries is sometimes an act of passive-aggressive aggression. Get it? You look at the weapon you have. You have a baby. You bring the baby around, and the baby upsets everybody because it's crying all the time. And you sit there powerlessly and say, well, I don't know why he's crying. And it gets you all this kind of negative attention and attention at the same time. So I've seen crying used that way. And I've also seen, of course, a lot of people who could put on fake, you know, crocodile tears. They call them crocodile tears, or the tears that are dry. You know, they're dry tears. They cry and they cry and they cry until they get their way. So, Jim, you're absolutely right. It's used to elicit sympathy and or attention. On me, you know, it's not going to work as well because I'm not afraid of crying. But a lot of people have in their childhood this mandate that if mother cries, you have to do something about it. Mom is not allowed to cry, you know? It's almost like it's your fault, and you have to do something about it, and that is one of the tough ones to handle. 212-209-2900, or email at armand@thepositivemind.com for today's program. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi there, you're
Armand?
On the air. Yes.
Armand.
Yes.
I was holding, yeah. And
Rosie, how are you?
Good. And Armand, I'm trying my best. And you were just talking to Jim, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was just listening quietly. I wanted to mention when I got in on the program where you were mentioning, like, if something, you had a misunderstanding and with someone and you felt so bad that I got kind of like, this time I couldn't cry right away. It was like, I was upset, and I know I must have upset the other person because of how the dialogue went, and I sort of held it for like days, and like, you know, it was like, then finally one day it just kind of came out. I couldn't hold it much longer, and it wasn't that I didn't want to cry. It was just like that. You said that period that you go through.
That's right. It was like the healing time, you know. You gotta.
Yeah, like you had to. think it over and stay with it, that feeling of what the hell just happened and how did it happen to, between us and this and that. And so then finally I did. And I wanted to say, you're right about the family stuff. There's a lot of not crying.
Yeah.
Except that sometimes at the funeral, at the wakes.
You're allowed to cry at wakes.
Yeah.
You're allowed to cry at wakes unless you're a male.
Oh, see, yeah. Male, the men don't cry at wakes.
They're not allowed to cry because they're supposed to take care of everybody else.
Yeah, like they're supposed to be walking around, like keeping it all in. And I say to myself when I've been at some wakes, I want to see my cousin Patty crying. You know? And I'll say, when his mom, we only had one day of a wake, as my mother's sister. And I said, I haven't seen a tear come out of his eye yet. And I wanted to see that, you know. But I'm sure he did later. But it's like, and when those tears come out, you know, sometimes it's like salty. And for me, it's a little irritating because I put all that medication in my eyes. But, and you're right about the migraine. Like, if you don't, sometimes you have that little tendency to have a migraine, and you do feel that little pain then afterwards, you know?
Sure.
And also, when you're in a movie and a movie gets to you, you should just let the tears come.
It's a beautiful thing. I love seeing a man weep. I love seeing a man
like,
weep.
You know, it's just
to me, it's such courage. That's courage.
So I'm so glad I got you, and I love you.
Rosie, I love you, too.
Take care.
And happy holidays to you.
Happy everything.
Yes.
I hope everything goes good in 07. And I hope those poor people, too, will stop bombing them, or bombing each other or whatever. You
Rosie,
know.
You're beautiful.
I hope
Thank
it
you.
Gets better. It's got to get better. It can't get much worse. Right, Arma?
Thank you, Rosie.
Okay. So Not take mine. Care.
Sure.
Take care, dear.
Beautiful person, Rosie. She does more good in this world. Amazing what she does for the homeless, for other people. Here's another question on the internet or email. Dear Armand, do the number of tears shed at a funeral directly proportional to the love you had for the dead person? Wow, there's a question. Do the number of tears shed at a funeral directly proportional to the love you had for the dead person? No, of course not. Of course not, no. Because everybody experiences their pain in different ways. And the fact that many people, when someone dies, they don't cry at all. One of the diagnostic tools we use here is if we run into people who are depressed, we find out if somebody died in their families. And when we find out that someone did die, we said, did you grieve when that person died? We want to know if they cried. If they didn't cry when somebody like their mother or father died, and they said, no, I didn't cry at all. We know that part of the healing process is to bring them back to that position so that they could cry, and that will help release them from the depression. It's a funny thing. So a person's ability to cry at the death and loss of something is very important. Very important. There was once a study of some geese. I'm sure I've mentioned this. The sound of geese crying is a very fascinating sound because it sounds like the human cry. And someone studied, why do geese cry? And so, and here's what they came back with. When geese are flying in formation, you know, they fly in this wing formation, right? And if one goose falls out of formation, by the way, they fly in that formation because they use the updraft of the other wings to keep them in the air. You see, you could use updraft and downdraft. So if you stay in that certain formation, it's easier to fly. So then what happens if one falls out of the formation, it upsets the draft. You know, you actually have, now they're not flying as well. When one goose falls out of formation, the other geese set up a cry. So if you ever look overhead and you see geese flying and crying, you know, whack, 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 usually you'll find a missing one in the formation. Now, why are they crying? They are crying to find out if that goose has just temporarily lost its way, like gone to the bathroom or something, or if that goose is really gone permanently. If the goose is gone permanently, if they cry, and they cry for a short period of time and there is no response, they reform the formation. And this way they can still fly together. But I think that's like humans, and that's like grieving. I think part of the reason we cry and we grieve is part of crying is to see if the other person's going to come back or not. It's like we're crying to see, are you really gone? Even if you break up a relationship with somebody and you lose your boyfriend or girlfriend and you cry, part of you is saying, are you really gone? Are you really gone? Are you really gone? And then after you cry enough, after you've shed enough tears, and after you've wailed enough, you find out that person's not coming back, and you regroup yourself. And then you regather yourself. So you go flying on to your next adventure. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We've tried a new experiment today, which I will use and continue. If you want to continue to send me the emails, I will continue responding to them. Let's see, I've got another one here I want to respond to. I'm curious about tears of joy and laughter. Boy, I'm curious about tears of joy and laughter, too. It would seem like there's some release of some accumulation of hormones in the body. We're going to do the science of laughter, you know what I mean? We have to get into that. And the science of joy. Maybe I'll ask Roberta Atti to do some research on that with me. Joy and laughter, because what happens when you're laughing and you're so filled with this stuff? Your chemistry has got to be filled. Don't you think the old lacrimal glands, the eyes, are going to release some of those extra fluids? And I think that's part of the release mechanism of the extra neurotransmitters and the extra hormones that are coming about, the abundance that comes about with laughter and joy. That was for Ann Rubino. And for, are men allowed to cry when their dog dies? Oh, Paulette. All men are allowed to cry when their dog dies. Oh, all men are allowed to cry when their dog dies. I don't know. A lot of men I know who don't cry when their dog dies. But it kind of goes to one of the great pains of all time. I don't think you asked are men. I think you said all men. I think you're making it as a statement. And here's finally from one more, Pamela, who's a good friend, who says, I usually feel better after I cry. As a kid, I cried frequently. As I aged, it didn't come up so much. And she goes on to say to Michael, for the way he gets our program on air. Special thanks. That's to you, Michael G. Haskins. And special thanks to you, because without you, this program would not get to our friends. So we'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends. This is Armand DeMille. Armand@thepositivemind.com. Hey, listen, the WBAI.org, you could tune in, you could get their website and learn all about what's happening here at WBAI, and send it around the world, would you? Send it to all the people everywhere you know. Add a little piece that says, and you want to listen to something, listen to WBAI.org.
Tuned to listener-supported commercial-free community radio, WBAI, WBAI.org.